Today we begin at the beginning, and at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Now scholars tell us that Mark was the first gospel to be written, so therefore this was the first attempt to write down the life and mission of Jesus Christ, and that is the beginning of the gospel. It is also the beginning of the new year. And so I thought beginning at the beginning of the story of Jesus is a good place to start the new year. Now, what's interesting about the Gospel of Mark is where it actually starts. Matthew and Luke begin with the birth of Jesus. John begins with a theological treatise on Jesus being one with God even before he was born. But Mark doesn't start there. Mark starts instead with Jesus' baptism. It would appear that for Mark, the proper jumping-off point to understand Jesus is not his birth or his pre-birth, but his baptism. And maybe that's not such a bad idea to consider the starting point for us as our baptism. Today is the first Sunday of the new year, and in the church calendar, as Heather mentioned, this is known as Epiphany Sunday. And Epiphany Sunday actually has two meanings or two focus. One is the arrival of the Magi with their gifts for Jesus, and the revelation, the epiphany that it brought. It is also the Sunday that the church recognizes the baptism of Jesus, an epiphany of who Jesus was and the beginning of his ministry. And so the church starts the new year in the same place Mark does, with the baptism of Jesus. And maybe this isn't such a bad idea, not to take anything away from those great Christmas stories we just heard a couple weeks ago. Nothing away from Matthew or Luke or from the theological poetry of John, but by starting with Jesus' baptism, Mark made a deliberate declaration. See, every great story begins at the beginning, and at the beginning for Mark is baptism. And like everything else in Mark's gospel, the account of Jesus' baptism is rather sparse. A few words of introduction and then the act of baptism itself. Central to Mark's account of the baptism are these words, "You are my son, with you I am well pleased." In that moment, a relationship was declared and acceptance given. For all the theology is wrapped up in baptism in our churches today, its real power comes from the acceptance and the relationship declared in that moment. You belong to me, and I am pleased. Thus God spoke to Jesus, and in our own baptisms, God speaks to us. Now, I don't know Jesus' state of mind when he was baptized. Was he joyful or fearful? Was he concerned about the ministry that he was about to start? Did he fully understand the consequences of what he was about to embark on? I can't say. But I can't help to think that these words that he heard at his baptism would be reassuring. You are my son, and I am well pleased. He had not done a thing in his earthly ministry yet, and yet he had already pleased God. There's something poignant and powerful in that moment. For in baptism, God declares what is possible for us. We may come to the baptismal font of our own decision, or we may come because of our parents' decision. But the act of baptism itself is God's decision for us. In our baptism, God has declared who we are and whose we are. An epiphany of sorts. It is that sort of epiphany that Paul was writing about in his letter to the Ephesians that Kim also read this morning. His prayer for the Christians at Ephesus was that they might see what God already sees in them. He writes, "I pray that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you." Maybe that, as Heather tried to describe what epiphany meant, maybe Paul has the words that the eyes of your heart are enlightened. That's what an epiphany is. Enlightened to what God has in mind for us. Paul wants these new Christians at Ephesus to see themselves as God sees them, full of hope and promise, a promise that will propel them into a glorious life with Christ. And it is that potential, that promise, that is often most vexing for us as Christians, isn't it? For while God sees who we are and what we might become, we often don't see that. Maybe we lack that epiphany moment. Paul is writing to a group of newly minted, newly baptized Christians, and yet they have no idea what God sees in them or where they are to go from here. And I think we often have the same problem. Many times, new Christians will ask me, "What do I do now? Having been baptized, having joined the church, what do I do now?" But the question is not limited to new Christians. There are plenty of lifelong Christians who ask themselves, "What do I do now?" Or maybe more accurately, "What does God want me to do now?" Years ago, a pastor told me a story about a young man who came to him one day. The young man was trying hard to be a good Christian, but he just didn't feel right about what he had been trying. He tried attending a Bible study, but he couldn't sit still for the long sessions. He tried joining a prayer group, but he felt intimidated by the faith and prayers of the others. He didn't go with the work crews that went to the Habitat project the church was sponsoring because he wasn't good with tools. And so he could not find his place, his ministry, and he felt worthless as a Christian. And so he went to the pastor and asked for help. Now, instead of offering yet another activity for him to try, this wise pastor asked him what it was he liked to do. And the young man told him that he loved to play sports. So the pastor said, "How about softball? Do you like to play softball?" "Oh, I loved to play softball," said the young man. And so the pastor said, "Why don't you form a softball team?" And the response came, "What do you mean, Pastor?" And the pastor said, "I mean the church could use the softball team and you just might be the person to do it." And so that's what the young man did. He formed a softball team with members of the church. And then he discovered that while he had a softball team, he didn't have anyone to play because there was no church softball league in this town. So he went and called on the other churches and got them to form softball teams. So he had a church softball league for his team to play in. And then as he was forming this league, the young man made an astute decision with his new league. He decided that in this league, no more than half the members of any team could be from their own church. Now, why would he do that? What that meant was the churches had to go and recruit players from the community for their softball teams, neighbors, friends, people they worked with. The league became one large ecumenical outreach to the community, and many people found their way to Christ in that town through the church softball league. It took this pastor to see with the eyes of the heart what was possible in this young man. I still go back to that question the pastor asked, what do you like to do? Maybe in that question is the first glimpse of Paul's understanding of what the eyes of the heart are. What is it that you like to do? And the follow-up question is, how can I do it for Christ? Like Jesus, our baptism marked the beginning and affirmation of who we are and who we belong to. A starting point for our ministry, starting point for our lives as Christians. And maybe that's a good place to start this new year. Not so much to make resolutions, although those can be very good, but to see within ourselves and within each other what God sees in us, the possibilities and the promises, the hope that we can bring to ourselves and to others. It is with the eyes of the heart that we can see God at work in us and in others. Although sometimes we may need someone to do it for us. Paul is trying to do just that with the people of Ephesus. Paul invited them to see the potential of everyone. And so Paul invites us to see the potential in ourselves, that God has already reached down to us and said, you belong to me and I am pleased. And within that is all we need to minister in Christ's name, to reach out to the community and share the good news in one form or another, that we might have the possibility of to see this possibility in ourselves and in others might be the best way we can possibly begin this new year, or any new year for that matter. Amen.